Good morning, everyone. Today's daf in Yuma, daf Yud Gimel. We're on Yud Beis Amud Beis. We're towards the bottom of the Amud. And we're starting with Tanur Rabbanan. In the Masechta, now we've been covering the Avodas Kohen Gadol by Yom Kippur, and we've been really focusing on his preparation prior to the actual day of Yom Kippurim. So he goes into Hafrasha. He goes into a sequestering, and he stays there for 7 days. What we've been discussing now, since the beginning of the Masechta, is basically the Makor. Where do we know this from? What's the source of this Hafrasha? And various other aspects regarding the Hafrasha itself. Yesterday we finished off the Gemara's digression of Mezuzah. The Gemara back on Daf Yud discussed that there's a Chiv Mezuzah, there's an obligation for Mezuzah for the Parhejan, for the Lishkan which he's staying in, even though he's only going to be living there for 7 days. We debated exactly what the nature of that requirement of Mezuzah is. Is it in fact considered a dwelling? We noted the distinction between living in the Parhejan for 7 days versus living in the Sukkah for 7 days. And then the Gemara went on a long tangent, on a long digression regarding Mezuzah. And so on Daf Yud Aleph, Daf Yud Beis, half of Daf Yud Beis, we discussed Mezuzah. And then on the bottom of Yud Beis Amud Aleph, so the Gemara talked about Chinuch. What exactly is going to be the inauguration of the Kohen Gadol? Meaning if the Kohen Gadol has a psul, has some sort of disqualification, and now we're going to have the substitute Kohen Gadol who's going to be taking over, so how exactly do you inaugurate him? So that was a discussion yesterday's daf, which we went through yesterday as well. And then the Gemara went on to digress and discuss a little bit regarding the belt of the Kohen Hedjot. The Kohen Gadol's belt is made out of shatnez, that the Torah says very clearly. What about the belt of a Kohen Hedjot? So as we learned yesterday, that's a machlokas tanaim, whether or not the belt of the Kohen Hedjot is made up of shatnez as well, or was it made up of only of linen. Okay, that took us through yesterday, and we continue. We're on the bottom of Yud Beis Amud Beis, and we are picking it up, Tanu Rabbanan, towards the bottom. Yerubo Psul, so let's say a psul, some disqualification happens to the Kohen Gadol, and now you get a substitute. So Rishon Chozel Avod Asosheni Kol Mitzvus Kuhuna Gadol Alav Diver Rabbi Meir. So Meir says, what happens? What happens when the Kohen Gadol now is ready to take back his position? So basically, the question is that this substitute Kohen, who did serve as Kohen Gadol, so what kind of status does he have now at this point in time? So Rabbi Meir says, Kol Mitzvus Kuhuna Gadol is on the replacement Kohen, even after the. Even after the first one takes back his position. Let's take a look at Rashi. Kol mitzvahs kahuna gadol alav. So what exactly are we talking about? So let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi says, lo pareh v'lo pareim, v'ena matam l'krovim. So in other words, the Kohen Gadol is bound by extra restrictions and extra rules over that of a regular Kohen Hedjot. So priya prima, meaning that when you can't let your hair grow, you can't tear your clothing over the mace. He's not mitami for kroving, meaning a regular kohen, and who in general is not allowed to become tame mace, not allowed to come into contact with human remains. But a kohen gadol, I'm sorry, but when it comes to a karov, so he may, kohen gadol cannot become tame even for one of the seven krovim. So this replacement kohen gadol, once he has taken on the role of Kohen Gadol, so he therefore is bound by all the regular rules and restrictions of a Kohen Gadol. So Rashi gives those examples of Poreh and Poreim and Enim Etam Lekrovim, Umuzer Ala Amana, Umishamish Bishmona Begadim. And, says Rashi, continuing and giving more examples, he can't marry an Almana, can't marry a widow, meaning a regular Kohen can't marry a divorcee. A Kohen Gadol has an extra restriction. He can't marry a widow as well. And so this replacement Kohen Gadol, even though he served one time in the Beis HaMikdash, and even though the original Kohen, you know, took back his position, but nevertheless, he's bound by this rule of not being able to marry an Almana, and also Shemana Begadim. In the event that he ever wants to serve in the Beis HaMikdash, Shemana Begadim. So he has to wear 8 garments, not 4 garments, like the Kohen Gadol. Okay, so that is all. That is all Shitas Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yossi Amar, Rishon Chozel Avodah, so Sheinu Eino Roi Lo Kohen Gadol V'lo Kohen Hedjot. And Rabbi Yossi says no and no. Meaning when the original Kohen Gadol takes back his position, takes back his place, so as far as this replacement Kohen, he's now stuck. He's in a halachic limbo. So, and why would that be? The Gemara is about to explain. Amar Rabbi Yossi, Maisa B'Yosef, Ben Hilem, B'tzipor, Shira, B'Psul, B'Kohen Gadol, Uminu Tachtav. And the Gemara tells an incident. It's interesting, but Tzipori, in the town of Tzipori, I mean, that's north of Yerushalayim. But anyway, So there was a psul by the Kohen Gadol, and they and so therefore there was a substitute, just for a temporary substitute. And the Chachamim say, look, when the Kohen Gadol is ready to go back to his position, so fine. The original Kohen Gadol is not going to lose his position just because he was psul. Fine. So he gets back his position, Shani. But what about the replacing Kohen Gadol? Ain't a royal lola Kohen Gadol, lola Kohen Hedjot. So he can't do either. He can't serve as a Kohen Gadol, nor can he serve as a Kohen Hedjot. Kohen Gadol Mishum Eva. Now, him serving as a Kohen Gadol, so that's, how's the expression go? Too many chefs in the kitchen, right? In other words, it's going to create animosity. It's going to create a natural acrimony, meaning Kohen Gadol is a one-man show. It's, you know, one person's at the top of the Kohanim. So to have a second Kohen serving as a Kohen Gadol, it's going to create Eva. It's going to create animosity between the Kohan and between these two Kohen Gadols. So the Gemara assumes that they simply cannot coexist. And Kohen Hedjo, Mishum Alam Makar, Shalom Maridim. So how about just downgrading him back to a regular Kohen? No, in other words, he was already Me'ule. He already got an upgrade. So once he got an upgrade, so now what are you going to do? You're going to go back down and sit with the rest of the Kohanim? So he's stuck. So he's in a halachic limbo. Now, exactly what that means, hard to know. Meaning, he can't do avoda anymore. Okay, presumably the answer is yes, that's correct. He can't do avoda anymore. But it is a strange conclusion, all simply because at one point in time, he took over for the position of the Kohen Gadol. Am Rabba Babachana, Am Rav Yochanan, Halacha Ke Rav Yossi. So he says, and you know who the halacha falls like? The halacha falls like Rabbi Yossi. Now, Tosfos is already bothered, meaning, look, it's a great debate. It's an interesting debate. Meaning we're discussing now what happens when the substitute Kohen takes the position, the Kohen Gadol, and then he knows it's a temporary job and he comes back down from his job. So where does he go? Does he remain the status of Kohen Gadol, or does he revert back to being Kohen Hedjot? And we have a machlokas. And now the Amora, Rabbi Baruch Hanna, says, and here's the halacha, halacha's like Rabbi Yossi. Okay, I mean, why do we need to know that? Meaning, it's good. But Tosfos is bothered by that. If you take a look at the top Tosfos and you give him an Aleph, Tema Hilchasa de Meshicha, Techiai Gavna Parch Bezvachim. So he says, look, it's Hilchasa de Meshicha. That's an expression the Gemara uses every now and then. It basically means, look, it's a nice halacha. We like it. But it's not relevant to us. The Amoraim are stamping, this is the position we should follow. We should follow. We don't have a Beis Hamikdash, we don't have a Kohen Gadol, and those will return to us when the Mashiach comes. So it's Hilchasa de Meshicha. So Tosfos is bothered. So what are we doing spending so much time now? Not so much time, I shouldn't say it that way. But why is the Gemara coming to a conclusion on this matter? And Tosfos attempts to answer. See Tosfos inside, where he says that this might have halachic relevance in a scenario where you have leaders of a Jewish community, where one leader is in a particular position, and then he's taken away, and you have a substitute, and Tosfos says, maybe it would impact that as well.
When you apply the principle of dichud, the original
Kohen Gadol. Right, interesting. Generally speaking, we don't say dichud. Certainly not in the world of animals, we're talking about human beings, but in the world of animals, a live animal, generally speaking, is not subject to dichud. So, I don't know if my argument is valid, but
the thing is, the Kohen Gadol and Yom Kippur is not only a person, but also, not Gabra, but object also, so it's really.
I like that, objectifying people, but I'm fine. I'm good with it. I'm fine. So the.
How would a second coin take the job? I mean, knowing that he's losing everything, all the rights
right.
of a colon.
Doesn't sound like from the discussion of the Gemara. Doesn't sound like there's much choice in the matter. Look, he knows what is. It's an interesting role. I mean, he's.
But knowing that he's going to lose.
The Rav spoke about this a while ago. I liked it. He's a role player. In other words, and it's definitely an interesting role to play. So halachik Rabbi Yossi, Modi Rabbi Yossi, Shem Avra, Va'avra, Avodaso Kshera. Now, Rabbi Yossi will agree the following. Again, so Rabbi Yossi, where does Rabbi Yossi put the substitute Kohen? He puts him in halachik limbo. Meaning, he can't serve as a Kohen Gadol, he can't serve as a Kohen Hedjot. Kohen Gadol, no, because of Eva, and Kohen Hedjot, no, because Malim, because Ve'im Aridin. He can't go back down. Good. And the Gemara says, and that's all halachik like Rabbi Yossi. However, Rabbi Yossi will admit that Sheim avod avoda avoda sakshera. Meaning, you can't tell me that he's disqualified from doing the avoda. Meaning, we can't go that far. That's too much. But to say that simply, lichatchila, he shouldn't be doing the avoda.
He can't do the avoda, but he gets the rights of a puma and stuff like that.
In other words, from those zechuyos, I would imagine you're right. Right? In other words, he's still a Kohen.
Right,
but just in terms of, doing, this.
Halal,
Right. In terms of what the Gemara is asking over here, in terms of which direction he's going to go, seems to be only vis-a-vis Avoda. Seems to be. Although I'm not sure, because if you go back to that Rashi that I read a little bit earlier, you know, Rashi was discussing how he can't marry an Almana and he can't be Metame for his seven Krovim, meaning is the Gemara also, you know, in this discussion, the Gemara also here is talking about that as well? I'm unsure.
But the thing is, this was that he said that he cannot do the work of a Kohen Gadol because he's already been elevated.
Right.
But we learned that the Kohen Gadol himself can step in at any time and do the work of Kohen.
Correct, Hedil. Correct.
So why is not...
Because of the Eva consideration. Meaning the Eva consideration is telling me, look, we have another Kohen Gadol already. So now you want to step in as, look, you could serve any time you want, yeah, but there's still another, the original Kohen Gadol. And it's going to create the Eva. The
Because he's doing the work of Kohen Hedyot. I mean, I'm talking about doing the work of Kohen Hedyot as a status while holding the status of Kohen Gadol.
Right, but once you're giving him status of Kohen Gadol, I'm assuming, this is how my understanding of the Gemara works, once he's acting as a Kohen Gadol, he can't be relegated down to Kohen Hedyot because Malan Bekodesh Vein Moridim, and now once he's serving as a Kohen Gadol, that's going to create Eva. That'll just create animosity. So the Gemara says that if the first one dies, so he returns back to his avoda. In other words, even Rav Yossi will give you that. Meaning, even though Rav Yossi puts him in halachic limbo, but it doesn't mean that he's nidche, it doesn't mean that he's pushed off, it just simply means that as long as the Kohen Gadol's there, so he can't serve as Kohen Gadol. So pshita mao detema, havelet sar mechayim. So the Gemara says, okay, but what I might have thought is that he's like a sar mechayim, is like a co-wife, you know, while he's alive. Co-wife over here is to be used not, you know, loosely. But in other words, right, it was like a tsara. So Kamash wants the Gemara says, the Chiddush is no, that it's, that they would work. And in other words, after the Kohen Gadol dies, he can just simply now be reinstated as his position as Kohen Gadol.
So even if he's a
even as a Hava, right, even as a Hava Mina, meaning what, right, okay, I grant it. All right, and finally, we're now going to hit the end, the last part of the Mishnah. Okay, it's been a long discussion. It has been a lot of Gemara, right? Obviously, the Mishnah started all the way back on Daf Beis Amud Aleph, and now the Gemara is going to take us to the end of the Mishnah, and that is the discussion in the Mishnah regarding the setting up of his second wife. Now, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, if you go back to the Mishnah, I'm just going to review Rabbi Yehuda Omer Af Isha Acheres Maskinen Lo. We set up another wife for him, meaning he has to be married. Kohen Gadol has to be married. The Torah says, "V'chiper ba'ado uve'ad beso." That's going to provide a kapara for both him and for his house. House is a euphemism; it refers to his wife. Bais is in beso ela ishto. Bais is a reference to his wife. So he has to be married. So Rav Yehuda says, because of this requirement of him having to be married, so therefore, what if his wife dies? So then he's going to be without beso, without wife, and he can't be a Kohen Gadol without a wife. So what if? So Rav Yehuda says, so I'll tell you what you do. So put another wife in waiting. Is that if in the event that his original wife dies, so now he'll have another wife.
What does that mean in the waiting? Does that mean to make a kedusha?
That's the rest of today's daf. So okay, from here until the end of today's daf, that Gemara is going to be dealing with exactly that question. Now, but before dealing with that though, just reviewing. And so the Chachamim say to Rav Yehuda, no. So no, we don't agree. So Shema Tamos Ishta Zu Ishta Amar Lo Im Kenen Ladav Asof. So wait a second. So
why not?
Right? Why not? I'm sorry. Shema Tamos Ishta Shenamer Chiper Bada Bav Vebisa Zu Ishta. So Amar Lo Im Kenen Ladav Asof. So Chachamim said to Rav Yehuda, look, we're just it's you're worried about his wife dying. Why not worry about a second wife dying? Why not worrying about a third wife dying? Meaning, according to you, this can be an unending loop of concern. And the Chachamim say, it doesn't bother us. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda Amar Af Isha
Acheres.
Right, Rabbi. Wait just one second. So Rabbi Yehuda Amar Af Isha Acheres Maskin Alav Rabbanan Ami Hai Chai Shel Shema. So the Chachamim also, aren't they worried about Shema? Meaning, according to the Chachamim, what do we do? We set up a substitute Kohen Gadol. So the Chachamim seem to be worried. So I'm the Charabana. So the Rabbanan give a very simple answer. This is one we already discussed back all the way back in the Mishnah. To Mashchicha, Misa Lo Shchicha. Look, when you deal with risk and you take risk into consideration, so you have to look at the statistics. You have to look at the probabilities. What are the chances that the Kohen Gadol is going to become Tamei? Okay, not great, but good. Meaning there's a chance. What are the chances that over the course of Yom Kippur, for 24 hours, his wife is going to die. Really unlikely. So the Chachamim say, look, you have to, when you're taking these risks into consideration, you have to look at what are the chances. And so therefore, you want to talk about the Kohen becoming Tameh, so he can become a Baal Keri, he can come into contact with a Sheretz, meaning there are a number of different ways for him to become Tameh, therefore we'll have a substitute Kohen. In terms of somebody dying, the Chachamim said, that's not something that concerns us at all. So now the Gemara is just going to review that last line of the Mishnah, where the Chacham say to Rav Yehuda, you're worried about a second wife? Why not a third wife? Why not a fourth wife? And that was the last line of the Mishnah. And the Gemara just wants to know, is there any more dialogue? Meaning, what would Rav Yehuda say back to the Chachamim? So Rav Yehuda, So the Rav Yehuda will say back to the Chachamim, look, I'm also taking probability into consideration. I think there's a chance the wife will die. There's definitely no chance that two wives will die. That's really unlikely. So for the Misa of one, I'm concerned with it. With the Misa of two, there's just simply not a concern. And the Chachamim say, look, as far as we're concerned, we don't take numbers into account. Meaning, if you we're worried just simply about the concern of death. If you're concerned about death, so then be concerned about two deaths. And if you're not concerned about death, then be concerned about no deaths. So the Chachamim is just looking at it, not from a number standpoint, but for just simply the possibility of death. So now, why don't the Chachamim take their argument that they just applied to Rav Yehuda and now apply to themselves? Meaning, again, what was the argument to Rav Yehuda? We're not worried about death at all. Period. So why don't we use the same argument by Tuma? We're not worried about Tuma at all. Meaning, either he's going to become Tamei, and therefore the Kohen substitute Kohen is going to become Tamei, and his substitute is going to become Tamei, or we're just not worried about Tuma at all. Take that same type of thought process and apply it to Tumah. So I'm the Charaban and Kohen Gadol Zarizu. So the Gemara says the Kohen Gadol is not going to become Tameh. It's just not going to happen. So the Gemara asks the obvious question. So he's Zarizu, Lama Maskin and Kohen Acher. Okay, so if he's not worried at all, so then why have a substitute Kohen? That doesn't make any sense. So Kevin Davdin, late Sarah, Kosh Kingdom is Zariz Tfei. So the Gemara says it's psychological. The Gemara says, look, here's what you're going to do. You're going to have a Kohen Gadol in waiting. So now we're basically saying to the Kohen Gadol, look, I know you're going to be careful, but can we give you a little more incentive? Can we give you a little more motivation? You see him over there? He's ready to take over. Okay? Just know that. And it's just more incentive, says the Gemara, more motivation for the Kohen Gadol to take extra care and extra concern that he doesn't become Tamei. But really, fundamentally, Chachamim, applying their sense and sensibility of, we're not worried at all. We're not worried about death. We're not worried about Tuma, we're just simply not worried, period. And as far as adding another Kohen and waiting, is just to incentivize the Kohen Gadol. Period, Ad Kan.
No, they don't want him to ever feel like he's
done. Right. Correct. Okay, that takes us up to this point in the Gemara. I'm going to pause now as we are about to start the next part of the Gemara. Next part of the Gemara is really going to twist our minds. Okay, before the mind twisting. Yeah, go ahead.
Regular Kohens who are working in the Beit HaMikdash not marry a widow just in case they could get up to bat as a Kohen Gadol?
Meaning, knowing that he may become a Kohen Gadol, does he have to like... Right. So apparently this person, I mean, it's what Phil and I discussed a moment ago, this person has got a limited role in Jewish history as the potential Kohen Gadol. And probably, as the Gemara just said, probably he's just going to be sitting there on the bench the whole time. Okay, I mean, the original bench warmer. I mean, that's what he is.
Could be.
I agree.
Never chosen because they are married to a widow.
Well, so knowing that he's going to become the Kohen Gadol, so I would tend to say that, okay, he would now have to live his life as if he was going to be the Kohen Gadol. Okay. All right. Now, here we go. The rest of today's daf is interesting because basically we're going to discuss now a sheet on the Mishnah which we don't hold of. It's not the first time, it's not the last time, we've done that before, where we've discussed sheetahs which we do not hold of. But we're going to apply halachic principles that we do hold of, so there's plenty to gain from the upcoming Gemara, even though in the larger picture we're going to be discussing Shitas Rabbi Yehuda, and quite frankly, that's not the halacha. Halacha doesn't go like Rabbi Yehuda. we don't set up a second wife. But Rav Yehuda holds that we do. And now the Gemara just simply wants to know, well, how's that going to work? How do we set up a second wife? Now, what's the problem? So first let me set up the problem, and then we'll try to go through a solution. And the rest of today's daf is going to be an attempt at the solution. But before the solution, let me present the problem. I'm not creating a problem, just presenting a problem. The problem goes like this. Kohen Gadol needs to be married. We've established that. The Mishnah said, V'chiper ba'adov ad beiso, beiso zui ishto. He needs to be married. But the problem is as follows. The Torah says beiso. Beiso is in the singular. Not batim, but rather beiso. So he needs to be married, but he needs to be married to one wife, not two. So the only time in halacha I can think of where the Torah demands monogamy. Meaning, generally speaking, you want polygamy, so the Torah says that's fine. Okay, we don't. I mean, that goes back now 1,000 years. But what could the Torah have said? That's a reasonable question. What could the Torah have said had the Torah said that he could have more than one wife? I don't know. Unsure.
He said that you can only own one house.
Right. Correct. I don't know. Hedy, question's very well taken. I'm not sure. But the Gemara is working with that assumption, so, and with this assumption, it's going to create an obvious problem. He can only have one wife. So if he could only have one wife, and Rav Yehuda is concerned, well, maybe she'll die and he'll get a second wife. So Rav Yehuda says, maskinenlo. Now, the only thing maskinenlo means is that we're setting aside a second wife. Okay, now, is he marrying the second wife? Well, maybe the answer is yes. But if the answer is yes, so then that means that going into Yom Kippur, he's going to have two wives. And he can't. He can only have one wife. Well, if maskinenlo means, well, just, you know, set her aside. Okay, in other words, go over to a woman and says, here's your role for this Yom Kippur. Okay, you're going to, in the event that she dies, so you're going to be his wife. Okay, fine, she agrees, she understands. It's obviously a sacrifice, but fine, she agrees. So what are they going to do? They're going to get married on Yom Kippur? I'll discuss that in just a moment. Interestingly enough, the Gemara does not raise this as a possibility nor as a solution to the problem. It's interesting, and I'll discuss a little bit later on why the Gemara may not raise that as a possibility. But the Gemara does not. He can't marry her on Yom Kippur.
Assuming that she doesn't marry the Kohen Gadol and she never fulfills that role, is she qualified to marry a second Kohen Gadol because you consider her like to be married?
Well, hold your question, because your question will become relevant based on the... I'm not relevant. Your question will become more relevant based on the solution the Gemara is about to offer. Okay. So here's the problem. The problem is very simple now. Meaning, there's a demand that he has a wife, but there's a demand that he only has one wife. And Rav Yehuda is concerned that she's going to die. So Rav Yehuda says, so have him set aside a second wife. Well, he can't marry her, because then he's going to have two wives. And the Torah's demand is only that he only has one wife. Well, if he doesn't marry her, so then how is setting her aside going to be a solution? Okay. That's the problem. Now again, all this is only a problem according to Rav Yehuda, not according to the Chachamim. The Chachamim said, we're just simply not worried that his wife is going to die. It's just simply not a concern. Well, it's not a risk.
Beis Sod means one wife. I mean, Beis Sod would mean...
I understand. You can argue. I'm just... That's fine. I'm just... Yeah. I'm telling you how the Gemara is understanding how the Gemara is understanding all this, and based on all this, it's going to be the rest of today's daf.
How does Rav Yehuda deal with Beito? Does he accept Beito?
Yes, he accepts Beito as one wife. Correct. All right, so here we go. Now, I'm going to warn you that our brains are going to get twisted, as the Gemara now is going to try to create a solution to this problem, and B, a lot of the suggestions of the Gemara are going to be just strange suggestions, weak suggestions. That's not me saying it, although I am saying it. But that's not me saying it, it's Rashi saying it. Rashi tells us, right in the beginning of the sugya, look, the Gemara is about to present a lot of suggestions. Rashi says the Gemara knows that these suggestions are just simply not... If you think about these suggestions for more than just a second, you realize they're not going to work. It's not a good suggestion. But basically, Rashi explains, it's like the Gemara just kind of feeling its way around to get to the final conclusion. So it'll take the rest of today's daf to get to that point. But the Gemara is just going to throw out a lot of just, how about this, how about this? But knowing already in advance, that's not really going to work. Okay, so here we go. First, let's see the Gemara ask the question. Umi sagi le betakanta beso. Okay, we're in the middle of your Gimel Amud Aleph. The last word in the line is umi. It's about halfway down. Umi sagi le betakanta beso. I'm sorry. Umi sagi le betakanta. Is this really going to work? Based on Marchman of Ahakla Besahu. So the Gemara says, in other words, right now the Gemara is thinking Matkinen lo means just put, set her aside. Set her aside, it's not a wife. So the Gemara says to Mekadesh lo. Okay, so he does Kedushin with her before Yom Kippur, not on Yom Kippur. So the Gemara says, V'hakama de lo kanesh le'la besahu. So the Gemara says, okay, but Kedushin is only stage one of marriage. Marriage has two stages to it. It has Kedushin, it has Nisuin. So if he just does Kedushin, so that's only stage one. That doesn't make her beso. Beso is a reference to a wife who is a full-fledged wife, meaning undergone both Kedushin and Nisuin. So the Gemara says, okay, de kanesh lo. So the Gemara says, you're right. He married her. In other words, he went through both stages of Kedushin and Nisuin. Okay, Gemara says, well, okay, fine. So he married her. So now he's going into Yom Kippur with two wives. Two wives? He can't do that. Kohen Gadol needs Beso. He needs one wife, not two wives. So the Gemara says, Dehad Megarishla. All right, so he divorces her. Now, again, I told you that Rashi. It's really important because he realized, what do you mean? How does that help? Okay, what's the point? Good, the Gemara is going to ask. Meaning, again, Rashi says a lot of these suggestions of the Gemara are like just, the Gemara is just kind of feeling its way around, but the Gemara knows it's not going to help. So, the Gemara says, okay, divorces her. Okay, we're back to square one. It's got one wife. So, lo tzricha de megarishla al tanai. So the Gemara says, okay, so no. What we mean is that he's going to be Megarishar on condition. Okay, this will be your get if you die. Okay, so now remember.
Get your what? So get your if what?
Harezi Giteich, this will be your get, Amanasha Tamusi, on condition that you die. Now, again, remember, let's think this through. Meaning that what the Gemara now is going to propose is that he's going to give her again on condition. Now, can you give again on condition? Sure, you can. Sure, you can. No problem. Right? You can attach a string to a get.
What's the point of divorcing her when she's dead?
Well, give me a moment. Give me your question is well taken. Just give me a second. Give the Gemara a second. Okay. Now remember, there are. In this scenario, which is happening, he's going to go into Yom Kippur with two wives. Now, again, this is all according to Rabbi Yehuda, where Rabbi Yehuda says, I'm worried about a death. But remember, Rabbi Yehuda is only worried about one death. Never are we going to take into consideration the possibility that both of them are going to die. Even according to Rabbi Yehuda, that's unlikely. The only thing that's likely is that, or a possibility, is that one of them is going to die. Now, of course, it's possible that neither is going to die. So, right now, the Gemara is looking at this problem and problem solving from a very limited perspective. Because right now the Gemara is just addressing that one wife with ignoring the other. And then the Gemara is going to, you know, realize, so to say, wait a second, this wife is going to be, you know, resolved, but then of course there's the other wife. And eventually, as this whole dilemma unfolds, and as the whole solution unfolds, eventually we're going to get to the point where we're going to have a solution that'll satisfy all possibilities. One possibility is that his original wife is going to die. One possibility is that his substitute wife is going to die. And one possibility is that neither is going to die. Again, the possibility of both of them dying, even according to Rav Yehuda, that we don't take into account.
How does that resolve the base? As of now, she's not divorced, she's not dead. How does that resolve the base?
So,
he has two wives.
Again, every solution coming up right now until the end is a limited solution. And then it's not going to solve...
See the solution of base, it doesn't answer it. The question was why the problem was a beso.
Well, what's going to end up happening? When we get to the end of this, the Gemara is going to basically come up to a scenario where he's going to go into Yom Kippur with two wives, and based on the Tanai, which we'll discuss later on, it's going to be a little bit more complicated than what we're suggesting right now, and it needs to be more complicated. Mm-hmm. What's going to end up happening is that he will have gone through Yom Kippur with one wife. That's it. Period.
But this doesn't.
I understand that. I'm trying to explain that. I know the Gemara knows, Rashi knows, meaning it takes a while for the Gemara to unfold. So here's your get on the condition that you die. So the Gemara says, okay, v'dilma lo maisa. So the Gemara says, okay, but she may go through Yom Kippur and she actually may not die. It's very possible. Actually, not only possible, but probable.
More likely.
And then he's going to have gone through Yom Kippur with two wives. And again, two wives is a no-no. Not on Yom Kippur, not for the Kohen Gadol. So So the Gemara says, okay, so here's again on the condition that you don't die. So Ilamaisa. So the Gemara says, okay, man, by the way, what do I mean if you don't die? If you don't die through Yom Kippur. Meaning, so the condition is, every condition, and the Gemara is going to make this clear in just a moment, any condition to a get has to have a way to satisfy the condition. An unsatisfiable condition is simply not a condition. So in other words, there has to be a way for a condition to be satisfied. So the Gemara says, okay, how about this? You make it through Yom Kippur, this get will be a good get. So the Gemara says, so, Amanas Shilo Tamusi. So Ilo Misa Migarshala. So the Gemara says, oh, if she doesn't die, so good, she's divorced. And the Imisa Hakaimahach. And if she dies, well, there's always the other wife. So the Gemara says, Vidilma Hilo Misa Vahavle Gita, the Haigita, Umaisi Chaverta Vakamle Balabayas. So the Gemara says, okay, so maybe she doesn't die. Maybe the get, in fact, is going to be effectuated. So that means now that the second wife is in fact divorced. Umaisi chaverta, and it could be that the first wife is going to die. And now he'll have gone through Yom Kippur below bias with no wife. Okay, so again, right now the solutions are limited and really, not, let's say it, they're not solutions. But right now the Gemara is just kind of getting its way to that point. Ela damala amanasha tamus achas mikem. Okay, so maybe the condition goes like this. Again, he goes into Yom Kippur marrying both. Right now, the Gemara will always assume that, again, it's all according to Rav Yehuda, that he marries both going into Yom Kippur, and he's going to hand a get right now to one of them with a proposed condition. So right now, let's say the proposed condition goes like this. How about this? I'll give you a get on the condition that one of you die. Okay. So now you're. I hate to say this, but I'll say it. Now you're rooting for the death of one of them. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah. One of them has to die. So the amrala manasha tamus achas mikem. So misa hakaimahach, misa hach hakaimaha. So the Gemara says, so good. So in other words, so if one dies, the other one's alive, and the other one dies, this one's alive. So isn't that good? Vidilma lo maisa v'lo chadaminayu. So the Gemara says that's not good because neither may die, v'avale shnei batim. And now he's going to have gone through Yom Kippur with two wives. V'od. And furthermore, says the Gemara, ki agavne mi'avigita. And the Gemara says, and also, look, fundamentally speaking, that get doesn't work. V'amarava, harei zigitech, amanash lo tishti yayin, ko yemei. Now, we have in our Gemara, the gear says, chayai, that, or whatever, it probably doesn't belong. Vechaychi ein zekrisus. Right? Let's say, here's your get, but with a string attached. And that is, you're never to drink wine again. Okay? Good? No, not good. Meaning, any condition that is going to connect her to him for the rest of her life is not going to be a valid condition. Ein zekrisus. That's not simply not krisus. Meaning, the very definition of divorce is that there's a total severance between husband and wife. And anytime there's a condition, and in that condition lays an attachment for the rest of her life to him. So one example the Gemara gives over here is, here's a get, but you can never drink wine again for the rest of your life. And then and only again, then this get's going to work. That's by definition an ineffective get. It's not a good get. Or for example, he says, here's your get, but you can never marry that guy. Meaning, right now, for whatever the drama is, however you want to create the drama, but he hates that guy or whatever, however it worked. But in other words, you can never marry him. That's also not a good get. Get, by definition, has to be a total severance between husband and wife. So, kol yimei chayiploni, how is it krisos? Now, if you want to attach the get to a condition where the condition is satisfiable, where you say, how about this? I'm giving you the get, but on condition that he never drinks again. Now, oddly enough, that's a good get, because it is a satisfiable condition. Now, Rashi discusses that you do have to wait for that person to die, hoping and rooting and praying that he die, and, I'm embellishing right now, but in other words, fine. The point is that it is a satisfiable condition. So in other words, I'm sorry, before I go on the Gemara. So, when you give a condition, when you attach a condition to a get, it has to be that the get that condition is satisfiable. So to which now the Gemara is saying, look, all these proposals that he's making to one of his to the wife that he's giving the get to is not going to work. if the condition itself is not satisfiable. So Ella de Amar La, Harizi Gitecha Menach Shal Tamuz Chaversech. So the Gemara says, okay, so maybe like this. Maybe he gives her a get, and he says, this get will be a good get on the condition that your friend doesn't die. Okay? So Ilamai Se Chaver Tamigarsha. So now, if her friend, if her co-wife doesn't die, so that means that that was a satisfaction of the get. The get has been effectuated, and she'll be divorced. The imisaha ha kaimaha. Now, if the other one dies, then she's around, and that's good. So b'dilma misa chaverta bepalgada avoda. So the Gemara says, okay, but her friend may have died halfway through the avoda. The igla milsa lamafreya digita dahalav gita, which means that the get is not going to be a good get, because remember, the get was only going to be effectuated had her friend not died through the rest of Yom Kippur. The havid le avoda b'shnei batim, and then it will turn out that he did the avoda with two wives. Okay, so the Gemara says Ella. Rather, we're on the top of Yigimel Amud Beis, and we're still trying to figure out how the condition is going to work. Ella de Amar La Harizi Gitecha Menach Shetamus Chaversech. Okay, so he hands one of his wives a get, and he says this get will be effectuated. How? What's going to be condition? Condition will be that your friend dies, meaning the other wife dies over the course of Yom Kippur. V'dilma Ma'isa Chaverta V'Havale Gita D'Hai Gita. So the Kamlai Below Bias. So the Gemara says again, it doesn't account for every consideration, every possibility, because the possibility is that maybe the friend will die, the get has been effectuated, and now one wife died, one wife has been divorced, and he has no wives, and again, it's just simply not going to work. Ella de megarsh lehu l'tarvayu. Okay, so the Gemara says, look, the only way it's going to work now, the Gemara realizes, handing one of them a get is just simply not going to work. Because you have to, there are three possibilities you have to take into consideration, and handing one of them a get, no matter how you phrase the condition, is simply not going to take every possibility into account.
Can you effectuate a get on Yom Kippur or Shabbat?
Well, the condition will retroactively affect the get, so that the
but
get
isn't there like a some kind of tikkun or some kind of
no the. Well, hold your question, because I'm gonna discuss after this. I'm gonna discuss why not get married, or at least make a conditional marriage.
Right.
Okay. We'll come back to that. Right now, the Gemara is only attacking this problem from one direction, and that is he's married both, and then just a question of affecting a get based on a condition. So the Gemara says, fine, you're right. We can't do it by handing one of them a get. So therefore, what does he do? So therefore, he's going to hand both of them again. You know what? This will be your get, assuming that your friend doesn't die. So in other words, if your friend survives Yom Kippur, this get will be effective. Good. And to the other wife, he's also going to give her a get. And he says, and you know when this get will be effectuated? If you don't go to shul. This Yom Kippur, you're not going to shul. And if you do, the get will be affected. Okay. I'm sorry. If you don't go to shul, the get will be affected. So, v'dimma lo maisi chaverta v'lo aile hila beisa kinesis. V'hava le gita t'tarvayu gita. V'kam le b'lo bayis. Well, the Gemara says, well, look, if these are the conditions, well, the conditions of both of these getting can be made, to which now he'll end up with no wives. Meaning one wife will survive, which means that the other wife's get is a good get, and the other wife will maybe have gone to shul, or not have gone to shul, I should say, and effectuated her get as well, and so therefore he could have triggered both getting, and therefore he's going to end up with Yom Kippur with no wives. Ella. So the Gemara says, okay, we're going to just tweak it a little bit, we're almost done, we almost got it, we're ready. So again, so one wife he gives her again, he says, look, this get will be affected if and when the other one doesn't die. Okay, good. So in other words, so if his original wife makes it through Yom Kippur, the get of the second is going to be a good get. Okay, now, and now to the other wife he says, look, here's a get under the condition that I go to shul. So, in other words, he has the power now to trigger or not to trigger off that other get. Now, if the first wife dies, so good. So, in other words, so a second wife is right there. Now, so kaimaha. And if if the second wife dies, well, the first wife is there. So Michael Amamer Doma Maisa Chaverta Bepagad Avod Vavale Avod Lamafreya Bishnei Atim. So what are you worried about? So maybe you're worried that the friend will have died halfway through Yom Kippur, and it turns out now that the avoda he did is going to be an avoda with two wives. So ichazal adikabayla meimer kadim iu vayla beis hakneses. So the Gemara says if he sees his wife dying, so what he'll do is immediately he'll run into shul, trigger the get, because that was the condition that he stipulated. It's funny, he's in the beis mikdash the whole day, but that's not shul. And he'll run into shul, activate the get. So that means now that it turns out that he is divorced from her retroactively, which means that going into Yom Kippur now, he will have retroactively now have affected the get. So that means now that he will have gone through Yom Kippur with only one wife. Okay, period. Adkan. Okay, so therefore, solution. Solution to the problem. Again, problem is, you need only one wife going into Yom Kippur. Kohen Gadol can only have one wife. And Rav Yehuda is concerned that maybe she'll die. Rav Yehuda therefore says, we're going to set up another wife for her. The problem is that he can only have experience Yom Kippur with only one wife. So what do we do? So the answer is, the solution is, of the Gemara, is that you basically hand both of them gets. You stipulate and you say, let's say Rachel and Leah. Okay? Fits in well with our parsha. So let's say Rachel and Leah. So he says to Rachel, the wife number two, okay, they'll say to Rachel, look, if Leah makes it through the end of Yom Kippur, so then, I'm lost now. So you hand both, right, Leah's wife number one, Rachel's wife number two. So you hand Rachel the get and you say, look, if Leah makes it through Yom Kippur, she survives Yom Kippur, this get will be effectuated. Okay, good. Everything I'm saying is retroactively, meaning the death is just a trigger. So as long as she survives through the rest of Yom Kippur, so your get is going to retroactively go back to from Yom Kippur. Okay? So now, good. So that is wife number two, that's Rachel. So that's the get that he handed to Rachel.
Is there a second condition that if she dies, then the get is void?
Well, if she dies, then there's no trigger.
No, but I was saying that usually when you have like a Tanai couple, then you have like both.
All right, yeah, right. In other words, exactly how they're right. In terms of the rules of conditions, you're right. Tanai couple. And then he goes back to the first wife. He goes back to Leah and he says to Leah, look, right? But that only takes one possibility and concern. That would only help if Rachel makes it through the end of Yom Kippur. Leah makes it the end of Kippur. Then he hands Leah a get. And he says to Leah, look, here's your get, and it's going to be retroactively conditional, assuming I walk into Shul. So now he has a way of controlling this get and affecting this get. If he needs to, if he sees, let's say, for example, that she's dying, so what he'll quickly do, I know this is so unemotional. So meaning Leah. So he'll run to Shul. He'll now have affected the get. And so that now comes out that Leah and him were divorced already from the beginning of Yom Kippur. So that he and Rachel have been married throughout the rest of Yom Kippur. Okay. That's the solution to the problem.
Why is Leah needed? If she dies, that's it.
I'll tell you what. Let's hold. Okay. So I apologize. Let's hold. I'm available after for further discussion of this matter. Okay, now let's deal with another issue which the Gemara does not discuss, and that is, isn't there an easier solution to all this? Meaning, what's the problem? The problem is he needs one wife over the course of Yom Kippur. Good? Okay. Now, why not? Right. Let's not even go that fancy. Why not marry Yom Kippur? Okay. Meaning, if in the event that his wife dies. God forbid, if in the event his wife dies, and he needs a wife over the course of Yom Kippur, so he'll get married in Yom Kippur. Now, huh? All right, so, right. So one possibility is that he's in the middle of the avodah, but, okay, it's a long day. Take a break. I mean, wouldn't it be nice in Yom Kippur?
But there's going to be an instant in between where he's not married.
Okay, but in other words, in that instant, in other words, a little intermission in the avodah. So you're what you're suggesting is that a wife, by definition, has to be from the beginning to the end of Yom Kippur. Okay, that could be. Fine. So the big issue is that you're not allowed to make kinyanim on Shabbos and on Yantif. Yom Kippur is, you know, it's Yantif plus. It's near Shabbos. It's basically, it's another version of Shabbos, like we discussed in the beginning of the Masechta. So maybe the problem is that you can't make a kinyan on Shabbos or on Yantif. That's a rabbinic prohibition. And so a big issue that we could discuss, and the truth of the matter is we discussed it, Tosfos discusses it as well, is that maybe there's that possibility that she'll get that he'll marry the second wife on Yom Kippur, and as far as Kenyan is concerned, that's an Issur D'Rabbanan, and maybe the argument is that we're talking about in the Beis HaMikdash, and Ein Shvus B'Mikdash. All this brings us to Tosfos. Take a look at Tosfos on Daf Yud-Gimel Amud Beis, where he quotes a Yerushalmi. So the Yerushalmi has an entirely different discussion than the Bavli. Well, an entirely different. Not entirely different, but an entirely different understanding of our Mishnah. Again, all comes back to the fact that our Mishnah doesn't say that he marries a second wife. The Mishnah says, maskinin lo isha acheres. We just simply set aside another wife. Our Gemara, meaning when the Bavli had the whole discussion, which is most of today's daf, our Gemara understood he's marrying the second wife. Now, it can't be, because he can't have two wives, and our Gemara says, well, there must be a way that we could figure it out, that we're gonna construct and orchestrate a condition built into the two gittin that he gives his two wives, so that he'll only have gone through Yom Kippur with one of them by the end, when all said and done. That's the Bavli, a complex scenario. The Yerushalmi attacks the same problem, but as a, what I would suggest is a simpler solution, right? And marry her on Yom Kippur. And if you take a look in the middle of Tosfos, you give Muhammad base to the second Tosfos, Lechada, Tosfos says, B'Yerushalmi mashma, Yerushalmi is the first one in the line, B'Yerushalmi mashma, Isha acheres matin lo mazminim osa. You set her aside. Shim Tamos Isha b'Yom HaKippurim, Shikar Zos b'Yom HaKippurim. You marry her on Yom Kippur. U'palig agamar didan. And clearly the Yerushalmi approach is diametrically opposed to our Gemara's approach. Our Gemara is clearly avoiding that, because our Gemara is saying no. The Yerushalmi asked the question, aren't you making a kinyan on Shabbos? Isn't that a no-no? And the Yerushalmi's answer is, that's an Issur D'Rabbanan, we're in the Beis HaMikdash, Ein Shvus B'Mikdash. Okay, interesting. So again, a proposed solution, so the problem is clear in terms of what the solutions are. We can now say that we have two divergent paths in terms of how do we resolve the problem. The Bavli solution, which is what we're doing. I mean, we learn Talmud Bavli. That's what we do in the Daf Yomi. So the Bavli solution is that he marries both before Yom Kippur, and instituting retroactive gittin to both of them, so that if one dies, the other will still be married to him. And the exact terminology and the specifics of that, of those conditions, is what the Gemara just resolved on. Or you can say like the Yerushalmi, which is that he's going to marry, that it will only setting up the other wife going into Yom Kippur. He doesn't marry the second wife, and if need be, he'll marry her on Yom Kippur itself. The problem with that solution, the Yerushalmi itself admits, is that you're not allowed to make kinyanim on Shabbos and on Yom Kippur and on Yontif. So one answer could be, says Tosfos, or the Yerushalmi, is Ein Shvus B'Mikdash.
Does that with Bavli, when you need to have a new wife each year?
No, in other words, no. If the first wife survives Yom Kippur, the second wife is divorced.
Okay, so next year you're going to have
another wife.
Okay, fine, you're right. Oh, you mean the next year's standby is going to be a different standby?
Yeah, there are.
Admitted. Correct. Right, not ruined, but you know.
Not marry anybody.
Okay, right, she. Yeah, not anybody. She can't marry a Cohen, but she'll marry Yisrael. Okay, shall have. Divorce. They have a Cohen. What do you mean? She can marry regular Yisrael. She can't marry Cohen. She's a Grusha. You're right, but she can marry a regular Yisrael.
A divorce.
They have a Cohen Gadol. Okay, yeah. In other words, the king's wife is the one who can't marry anybody. Yeah. Right. That was a that's a Sanhedrin discussion.
He says the Ramosi can use his solution because.
Yeah, that the correct. That's what he quotes the Rambam. No, I'm saying. Oh, right. But I'm saying using the Shitas Rambam. Okay. All right. Let's go a little bit further. What's that? Well, he quotes the Rambam. Yeah. Okay. In other words, another. I didn't discuss this, but. Another issue is that he can't have relations with her on Yom Kippur. Meaning, our Gemara says it's an interesting point. Our Gemara says that she has to be his full fledged wife. Meaning, they have to undergone both kiddushin and nisuin. Now, what's nisuin? So Nisuin, what we do is we do a lot of things for Nisuin. Put them under the canopy together, put them in a yichud room. But the Rambam's of the opinion that there has to be a potential bia. If there isn't potential bia, so then there's no chuppah. The chuppah is no good. That's the Rambam Shita.
Okay.
Correct. Sounds like Daraisa. So what he's quoting? Who is it? The Ramo?
The Ramo.
Okay. So he's quoting a Rishon that if you use the Rambam's thought process, so then that's the reason. That's another reason why the Bavli cannot accept the Yerushalmi solution, because the Yerushalmi has it that he's going to marry on Yom Kippur. You can't marry on Yom Kippur because it cannot be on Yom Kippur.
Okay. We also do things to keep the service going.
Right.
Kippur, we do shita.
Right. I'm sorry. My mind's still caught up on this. We'll see in the eighth parak. There are Rishonim who say that the other inuyim, meaning the inuy of eating and drinking Yom Kippur, that's a daraisa. But
we're going to start talking 3 minutes later than usual. 3 minutes later than usual, just to accommodate some late buses.
Okay.
Again, 8:06 will be the beginning of
dawn. We're going to see in the beginning of the eighth parak. Some Rishonim are of the opinion that the other inuyim are just a din darabanan, not a din daraisa. So, okay. All right, whatever. Okay, I guess we'll stop here. All right, we'll stop over here. We've resolved the issue. Okay, not we haven't resolved the issue, but we came up with a solution to the issue. The Yerushalmi had a different solution to the issue, and we just spent the last 5 minutes proposing other problems to the solution. Okay, but yeah, everyone understood. And mind you, by the way, the whole Gemara's discussion all is under the umbrella of this is all Shitas Rav Yehuda, which again is not a position that we accept la halacha.